Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we visit with Michael Meacham about Midwestern State Soccer. And we've reached the postseason. The LSC tournament is already underway, and Midwestern State knows now that in the semifinals they will face St. Edward's. Since we last spoke on the podcast, Midwestern State beat St. Mary's 3-1. St. Mary's, the conference champion. Midwestern State's beaten them twice this year, but St. Mary's is hosting the semifinals and finals this week. Just to remind people, I think people that are listening probably don't need to be reminded, but St. Edward's beat Midwestern State earlier this year 5-0.
They did.
What was your reaction when you saw that St. Edward's had won their quarterfinal match and that's who you were going to play in the semifinals?
Just happy that we got the bye to get to the semi. That was the most important thing. That's why we needed to perform against St. Mary's and be able to play our last home regular season game here. And you know, hopefully we can kind of keep things rolling and potentially host an NCAA tournament game.
I mean, and your announcer kind of dismissed that, by the way. I didn't think it would be possible for you to host a regional, but it's not only possible, there's a likelihood that you're going to host a regional.
I think there's a reasonable
possibility. Yeah, let me put it that way.
We're cautiously optimistic that if we can go down there and perform the way that we know we can perform and handle business down south, we have a very good chance of being able to not only win the conference tournament, but host an NCAA tournament game.
So you kind of eluded my question. I'm going to make another run at it.
No, I mean, obviously you want to play – you always want to play a team that beat you in the season. So, I mean, it's not that we're overlooking or undervaluing or hyping the game up any more or less than it should be. I mean, it's obviously a conference opponent that did very well against us early in the year. And would we obviously like to play them to right or wrong? I mean, I think everybody would always like to play somebody that beat you.
I mean, it would be – I mean, it's kind of human nature for there to be a little additional motivation to get even with those guys.
It's just another opportunity. I wouldn't say getting even. I wouldn't say revenge. I mean, I know everybody has those like little buzzwords. I wouldn't use those. I mean, it's just
I'm using the hell out of them, frankly.
Yeah, you can. It's fine. It's fine. It's just a good opportunity to be able to compete against a really good opponent. And obviously, they beat us earlier in the year very, very handily. And, you know, if someone's going to use that as motivation, that's great for them. I'm not going to use that to motivate me anymore. I mean, we have a trophy to win. We have,
and I know that, and
we have an NCAA tournament game to potentially host, and those are things that are more important to me.
And I know from visiting with you over the last couple of years that trophy is what motivates you. You want to do is collect trophies. You're upset
for sure.
You didn't get the regular season trophy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's what you play for. You play to perform to the best of your ability, and unfortunately, we weren't able to do that in the regular season. We slipped up a few times and got a draw and two losses, and that was not what we wanted to do. But I think we've shown for glimpses of times against opponents in the conference, in the region, that sort of stuff, that if we come with a good attitude and good effort and good energy and stuff like that, we can compete with anybody.
Have you gone back to look at the St. Edward's game
No.
from earlier in the year?
No.
What do you remember about that match? What has to be different in San Antonio to get a different result?
Concentration, decision-making, ownership, attitude, like just being tougher, being able to grind a little bit, all those types of things.
Why have you not gone back to watch that match?
I don't think
match?
Anybody would watch a game that they lost 5-0.
I mean, I'm not trying to argue with you, but is this a case where sometimes football coaches say, well, we're going to burn the tape?
Oh, I don't
know. Is that
–
I know you haven't I know you haven't literally done
No.
But mentally, have you done that?
Have we looked at different aspects of the game? Yes, absolutely. Have I watched the full 90 minutes of that game? No, I have not.
Oh, but you have watched different aspects of
Yeah,
it.
different glimpses and different scenarios, like
little
clips here
and there. Of it.
Yeah, little clips here and there. We've watched some of that, but no, I have not watched 90 minutes.
And it's also probably more important to watch what St. Edward's has done recently, because that game was a while back now.
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, they've played us, so that's a head-to-head. So you obviously want to see the head-to-head. Do you obviously watch some of their last 3 or 4 games, which we've done? Yeah, we've done that as well, to see if they've done anything or their player personnel has changed or different ideas. But like you're in November now. You are who you are. You're not changing your stripes in November. That's not. I mean, if someone's good enough to change their stripes in November, I'll shake their hand and congratulate them on lifting a
trophy. I mean, but you might make a tactical tweak here or there, right?
Because tweaks. But I mean, those aren't like.
Not major changes.
You're still using the same personnel. You're still doing a lot of the same stuff. I mean, can you put a few different players in a few different areas of the field? Yeah, but in reality, you're probably still getting them the ball in those areas typically the same way. You might just be using a few different players to get it there.
Let me just ask it this way. How important is film study in terms of soccer?
Yeah, I mean, we watch it every day.
You do, yeah. I mean,
yeah, we watch ourselves every day. We watch our opponents every day. I mean, we take different things. I mean, we watch what other people do every day. We don't do it as much as like a football and basketball do.
I guess that's kind of where I was headed.
They're running plays. Like a basketball coach can run a play.
Right.
Football coach can run plays. They have we have tendencies and those types of things. We have rotations a little bit that you can kind of understand. Restarts.
I was going to say, does it help you with restarts,
yeah,
set pieces?
You can understand those types of things, but like, we're not stealing signs or watching someone figure out, like, oh, they're gonna run this or this out of bounds plays here, or you know, they're going with all wideouts and no one's in the back. Like we just don't have those.
Yeah, right.
Those cadences and games and games. Like it's.
Yeah, that's kind of what the genesis of my question was, because
it's a little bit unrealistic for us.
Yeah, I know. Because your game is so much different.
It's closer to basketball in a way, but like obviously basketball has timeouts.
And the ball's coming out of the basket, and you're bringing the ball up.
Yeah, so it's the same sport, but it's just run differently. Now, when the game's live, I would say it's very, very similar to our sport. We just don't have as much control in game as like Leslie does. Like if he's just like, oh, we're not doing very good, I'll call a timeout.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love.
Yeah, you can't do that.
What do you want me to do? Just yell at the ref so he stops the game? I mean, that's all I can really do. Just cause a scene.
I mean, one of the things you can't do in college soccer is bring subs in.
We can, but then you still have 18 to 25 year olds trying to relay a message to other 18 to 25 year olds, like figuring those things out, like. That stuff gets lost in translation very, very quickly.
It just takes one game of telephone to figure that out.
I tell the guys all the time, even with like Mariano and Patty when we're in training, I was like, I think everything that we do in training is really, really good. That we can pat ourselves on the back on that. But you guys do know, like when the whistle blows, this all goes to shit. Like it goes out the window.
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean, it's like this kid might run here. He might move there. So they still have to learn things on the fly. They still have to make decisions on their own. So like we can only give them ideas. And that sort of stuff, like, I think that's the one thing that's different from us than football and basketball is, like, if they run a play and someone runs the wrong route, like, you know exactly he ran the wrong route. Like, you can stop it and say, like, you did wrong. Our game interchanges so much, like, and the players rotate in certain areas so much. Like, yes, you might have been able to do things a little differently, and you might have, as a coach, liked to have seen things done differently, but, like, they're still making those decisions. Like they still have to figure those scenarios out on their own.
And there's a lot of improvisation in your sport, right?
Correct.
I mean, just you kind of have to play the game as it comes.
A little bit. Like I said, you can always have ideas and you can always have like those rotations and thought process on things because you go over them repetition. But still, if the ball doesn't go where you think it should go, like you still have to continue to play.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just one guy going like, all right, well, I'm just going to try to run the end zone now.
Yeah, that's an incomplete pass. We'll just huddle and
we'll start all over again.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
We don't get to do that.
So are you playing your best soccer here at the end of the season going into the LSC tournament? I know that's the goal.
I mean, I think we've shown that we can do some really, really good things. But I've also shown that we can have a few brain farts here and there. So it's important for us to continue to minimize those glitches and maximize on what we're doing really, really well.
You have to play St. Edward's on the road. It's a neutral site at St. Mary's, but do you feel like they have an advantage being closer to home?
No, not really. I mean, away games are away games. I mean, they might be stuck in traffic as long as it takes us to get there.
Yeah, you may be able to get from Wichita Falls to Austin in the time it takes to get from Austin to San Antonio.
Yeah, no,
yeah, that's for sure. The traffic is miserable down there.
So no, it was good, and it was really good to play St. Mary's at home and to kind of get ourselves rolling. And that was a great environment from our fans that came out playing an early game.
I thought for a 4 o'clock start on it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday when Wednesday. We played that game. Wednesday. But 4 o'clock start on a Wednesday, I thought the crowd was great.
Yeah,
the end of the match.
The student athletes and the students and friends and family and stuff that came out. I mean, I thought they did a great job. I mean, I don't think we've ever played a game at four. We've played some earlier games, we played some later games, but four was a little bit different time. Weather was great. The fields in perfect condition, and I thought it was a good day.
It was a good day. It was a fun day, and you've beaten them twice now. And this is something I've heard from other fans, anticipating maybe a third matchup with St. Mary's, and the cliche is it's hard to beat a team three times in one season.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to lose to a team three times in one season too. It's hard to beat somebody. I mean, you can split. Splitting hairs. I mean, you've got two really, really good teams. You've got four really good teams that are in the conference tournament, and we're just hoping to be able to be on the good side of it come 3 o'clock on Sunday.
And you played St. Mary's down there in a conference tournament game just a couple of years ago.
Yes, we've played St. Mary's down there in a conference tournament. I think we've played twice down there in a conference tournament. That sort of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's been good.
I mean, at this juncture, when we record this podcast, you really can't afford to look ahead, though, can you?
No, we have to play St. Ed's, and they're fighting for their lives too. I mean, they have to win the tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. We just happen to have a little bit better, lookout on things, looking forward. But I mean, nothing's for sure. Like, someone else doesn't win the RMAC, someone doesn't win the CCAA, those types of things. Like, just because you're in now doesn't mean you're in on Monday or Sunday. Like, you have to continue.
You've got to take care of business down here in San Antonio.
You have to contend matches, and the good thing for us is we have another match to play, and it's against St. Ed's, a team that beat us, and that sort of stuff. And we're excited to get down there and play and all those types of things. I mean, I think my parents are coming down. They don't make too many road trips, but they're coming down for that, which is awesome. So,
what's the message you'll send to the team before you send them out on the pitch for the semifinal match?
I mean, at this point in time, you're just repeating things. If I've got to talk to them to get them jacked up to play an NCAA tournament.
Well, not necessarily in terms of motivation, but is there anything strategically that you'll want a point of emphasis? Is there anything you?
I mean, the same thing we've been telling them all year. I mean, you're going to have to be good in both boxes. You're going to have to block shots defensively. You're going to have to track runners and deny crosses. And then you're going to have to be clinical in front of goal. I mean, it's nothing that we've been changed for the last. I've been here for, gosh, I can't even tell you now, what, 13 years or whatever? The message has never changed.
It's all the same.
The message has never changed. So it's just been good that I've been here that long and been able to win more than we've lost.
These have been good training sessions leading up to the conference tournament?
Yeah, we've had a great week of training. I mean, we trained really well on Sunday. We trained really well yesterday. Hopefully we kind of keep that roll going today, and then we'll go out and support the women tonight. And their quest for a conference tournament championship, and they get to host a game at home, which is awesome.
They did not get the bye. They're hosting a quarterfinal game,
yeah,
which you were able to avoid. How important? And I know you mentioned this a moment ago. You were really happy you didn't have to play that quarterfinal.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I think I would like to see our conference tweak our conference tournament a little bit. No.
In what way? No, I'm just curious.
I think it's the most important time of the year for all the student athletes, right? People are fighting for their lives to play in the NCAA tournament and win another trophy and that sort of stuff. I would like to see every highest seed team host. So, I mean, you've got three hosted six, four hosted five on Saturday. I would like to see us play the semifinals on Wednesday.
On campus?
On Wednesday. And then the one hosts the four and the two hosts the three. And then we meet at the highest seed.
And then the one hosts the two or the two
or
hosts
the highest seed left.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be 3-4.
Right, whatever it is.
Like, then that team gets to host the final. I mean, that's what our student athletes have been used to all year. let's just keep them in the same scenarios and that sort of stuff. Let's not jam the most important time of the year for some of these kids and some of these student athletes ever to try to get to an NCAA tournament. Let's not cram it into 48 hours. Let's really try to let's keep them in the same rhythm and in the same routine that they've been in all year. And try to compete for another trophy that way. I mean, that's what we're used to. That's what they're used to. That's what their professors are used to. Like, we're all creatures of habit. Like, let's kind of keep them in that. And then you get to the NCAA tournament, and you've got one game a week. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Why aren't we doing that now at the most important time of the year when we can control the schedule just like they can? We can control it, so I would think that we should get together and really kind of make that work.
What's the benefit of doing it this way where there's not necessarily a neutral site, but the top seed hosts the semifinals.
I mean, it's cool for the one seed, obviously, to host that.
Which you got to do last
year.
Which
we've done it before. St. Ed's has done it
before.
St. Mary's has done it before. West Texas has done it. I think St. Ed's has done it when we were in the Heartland together. So everybody's been able to do it. But it's really just... I mean, I don't mean any disrespect for the Lone Star because I think we're going to have a great conference. It's a show. Like, it's a showcase event. And it's really the only one other than volleyball you kind of have in the fall. So let's kind of make it a festival type thing, which I think is cool. I'm not trying to, downplay that at all.
No, I'm not suggesting
that
you are.
I'm not trying to downplay that at all. I'm just saying, it would still be cool to do this. To make it this way and keep them kind of in their same routines and still let them host tournaments and that sort of. So the one seed would still be hosting.
Well, I think it also allows more people to take in the tournament.
It allows more people to take in the tournament. It allows more universities to take in the tournament. It allows for a lot of things.
And you're guaranteed the home team playing. We could get to Sunday. Let's say St. Mary's gets upset. I'm not making a prediction. But there's a chance two schools – or playing at St. Mary's.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of conferences in the country that do it this way. That do it
right.
The way that we
the Lone Star does it. Yeah, absolutely.
But there's also conferences in the country that do it the way I'm proposing to do it too. I'm not saying mine's any better or worse.
But it would be your preference.
I think it would be anybody's preference, to be honest. Now you look at St. Mary's, for example. You look for us in 23. You don't have to worry about four other teams training time or three other teams training times. You don't have to worry about your hors d'oeuvres or your little banquet thing. You know, you're focused on what you need to be focused on, and that's preparing your student athletes and allowing your university to reap the benefits of that, of you being successful throughout the year.
Well, I was going to ask you in a kind of a backdoor way, isn't it an advantage not to host a tournament? Because there's more distractions if you're the host school. You had a lot more on your plate last year when you were hosting the semifinals and the final.
Yeah, you have more logistical things to do. It's not really anything it's not a burden. It's not like I'm calling Johnny all the time, be like, hey, Johnny, you know, can I get this and this? Or I'm not calling Chad, you know, their athletic director, and saying hey, can I get this and this? Like, we're pretty self-sufficient. You know, we get it. The Lone Star does a great job of putting the manual together and telling us when training times are and that sort of stuff. So it's neither here nor there. I mean, it's not that we don't have a good conference tournament. It's not that St. Mary's doesn't host a good conference tournament.
I didn't mean to suggest that.
Yeah, no, it's not that we host a good or bad one. It would just be something I think that would be more time to prepare. It would be more people could see the conference tournament. More people could have a different experience when you're being able to have more rest time through it, and
in theory, it makes the final better.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we changed the way that our schedule goes now. Like, we used to play Friday, Sundays, and then everybody got together and be like, "This is not healthy for student athletes." You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need to do this. Like, I think it's still crazy that. Well, I don't know if they do it anymore, but I think they do it when the Big Ten basketball, when Syracuse won it a handful of years ago.
Oh, you're talking about the Big East.
Big East, sorry.
They had to win like five games in 5 days.
And they won 5 games in 5 days, and they won it, and it was like the greatest thing ever. And then it peters out. Like
yeah, they're worn out for the NCAA tournament.
You forced these students and these student-athletes to do things that like you wouldn't ask anybody else to do. You didn't ask them to do it for the first 17, 18 games of the season, and now all of a sudden we're asking them to do it in the most important or the biggest time of the year.
Well, it is the biggest time of the year, and it's always fun to see Midwestern State right in the mix where they are this year. Good luck in San Antonio. Let's knock the Hilltoppers off the hill.
We're gonna put our best foot forward.
All right, that's Michael Meacham, the men's soccer coach here at Midwestern State University. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for listening to the Stang Gang podcast. Tell your friends, and you can follow the men's soccer team at MSUMustangs.com. So long.